And welcome to minute 22 of season 5 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Jeanette Ward of the Mundane Adventures of a Fangirl. Welcome back to the show, Jeanette.
Hello, happy to be here.
Welcome back. You see, I got it right this time.
That's right.
I didn't say the adventures mundane fangirl of a. There you go. Yeah. How would Yoda say that? How do you think Yoda would say that?
Exactly as you just did. I was going to say you Yoda'd that whole sentence.
Okay, so episode 22 begins with Lorenzo still being pissed off and ends with Lorenzo deciding to call for backup. you definitely picked a good week to get, pissed off Dennis Franz. That's the way to do it.
Yes.
So yeah, yesterday we heard part of his diatribe, which was interrupted for a second by not now, later. That's right. We'll keep saying that throughout the week. How's that? Yeah. And he was giving a list of all the things of why he's so busy, and he started saying yesterday I got a reindeer, and then today he continues with saying flying in here from the petting zoo. But John McClane, he's got a problem. Let's shut down the whole f***ing airport. What do you think they'll say upstairs when I tell them that? Why don't you pick up the phone and find out? Because I don't need full f***ing forensics to tell me that this was some punk stealing luggage. Luggage? That punk pulled a Glock 7 on me. That's a porcelain gun made in Germany. Doesn't show up on airport x-ray machines and costs more than you make in a month. You'd be surprised what I make in a month. If it's more than $1.98, hey, McClane, don't start believing your own press, huh? Yeah, I know all about you and that Nakatomi thing in L.A., but just because the TV thinks you're hot, that don't make it so. Look, you are in my little pond now, but I am the big fish that runs it. So you kept some lowlife. Fine. I'll send your captain in L.A. a recommendation. Now get the hell out of my office before I have you thrown out. So you literally get an entire minute of, Sipowicz / Lorenzo / Dennis Franz just talking the whole time. He gets interrupted a little bit by McClane, but he's mostly just screaming at him, explaining to him.
It's Sipowicz-ing.
There you go.
For the whole minute. And I counted no less than 6 I believe.
Could be. All from him, you're saying. Yeah, well, wait, yeah. do we count the reindeer from yesterday or not? Oh, that doesn't count.
Oh, I think it did.
Okay, so here we go. So we got petting zoo, airport, full forensics, and then he says you're captain in L.A. a commendation. That's 5. No, only 5. Sorry, I guess okay. You counted
well,
the reindeer.
I counted the reindeer one from yesterday. All right, so
yeah, but 5. 5 is still pretty impressive. It's not.
If you do the math on that,
it's not on the level of Steve Martin. Steve Martin got 17 in a minute.
It's a lot.
Yes. So, yeah. But I think that's part of the character,
Just the absolute exasperation at the entire situation. But again, in this minute, there's some very high-quality exposition. If for some reason you're watching this movie without having seen the original Die Hard, he very quickly sums up the, I know all about you and that. And I love the way he pronounces Nakatomi. Nakatomi!
The Nakatomi thing.
The Nakatomi thing in LA. Again, the most Chicago cop in this DC airport. I know all about you and that Nakatomi thing from L.A. So again, summing up, just in case you weren't familiar with the first movie, just because the TV thinks you're hot. So again, in case you didn't see the first movie, you know that McClane has done some big time thing in L.A. and is now here in D.C. and this guy's not having it. And I love that you're in my little pond and I'm the big fish that runs it.
Right, which we'll come back around to us, I think, next week. Mm-hmm. Or maybe the week after. No, I think it's next week. I think it's next week.
A little laugh after that sentence.
Yeah, that's right.
Ridiculous.
It's funny that he doesn't say that I'm the shark or something like that. You know,
no, he's just a big fish.
I'm just a big fish.
He knows his lane and he stays in it.
It's true. That's very true.
Also, you'd be surprised by how much I make in a month. If it's more than $1.98, I'd be very surprised. Fantastic insult. Fantastic.
Yes, it really is.
And I'm sure you have notes for all this, but the one thing that I love, the bit with the paper. I know all about that thing with you in LA because he has it on a paper. John snatches the paper, and Carmine snatches it right back.
That's right.
I'm curious if that was scripted, if that was directed, or if that was just improvised by the two of them, like paper snatching back and forth. I love that bit. Thought it was fantastic.
I it's improv. It wasn't it's not in the script. I mean, I'll give
Love
you a
it.
little bit of a hint that it's not in the script that we'll be talking about later on
Thought it
today.
was fantastic.
Yeah. And I mean, the way that Dennis Franz also, his hand motions throughout this entire
Yes.
minute are great. He at some point he moves both hands out, and then he moves one hand and points up, and then he gets close to John's face and starts talking to him, starts screaming at him basically, and then he moves away, and then John still, and then he takes a sip of his coffee also. Like, he doesn't care. I
He
want
is
more of my
working
coffee.
everything he's got in that scene. I love it.
All right. Now I love that I mean, we'll see this later, I think next week or the week after. We see John's dossier, but it's the same as Cochrane's. That it looks exactly the same. Last week we were actually able to see the picture. So I think at first I looked at it and I'm like, why is he reading Cochrane's? It looks very, very similar. So, I'm glad that they were able to make a differentiation there. I think that works really well.
Oh, yes.
So here we'll go through some of the things that he talks about here. Petting zoos. Do you know any other names for petting zoos?
No. Are there other names for petting zoos? That is
Apparently,
strange.
there are.
All right.
A petting zoo is also known as a children's zoo, a children's farm, or a petting farm, right? It's a combination of domesticated animals and some wild species that are docile enough to touch and feed. And many general zoos contain a petting zoo also.
Yes, ours does here in the Milwaukee County Zoo has a children's petting zoo within it.
Makes sense. Now, where do you think was the first children's zoo in Europe?
In Europe?
Yes. We'll start within Europe and then we'll go to
I have
the
no
North
idea.
America.
I feel like London or Paris, or maybe someplace that would surprise me, like Amsterdam.
No, it's actually in London. You were right. It's London.
Okay, all right.
London had the in 1938 they opened up the first children's zoo inside of the London Zoo.
Okay, all right.
Okay, and then you had the Philadelphia Zoo was the first one in North America to open a zoo. They had a special zoo just for children. Okay, and what's interesting is in the 1990s, it's funny you mentioned Amsterdam, many Dutch cities started building petting zoos in neighborhoods so that urban children could interact with animals.
That's interesting.
They also have what are known as mobile petting zoos, not mobile, mobile petting zoos. Right, and they. You can like order them for a children's event or something like that.
That makes sense, sure.
Yeah. Do you know when the first mobile petting zoo was
No,
created?
please tell
The
me.
idea was like where it was created. When and where?
No.
Australia in 1992, which that actually makes sense because, if you think about the fact that there's so many there's quite big distances between things.
Yes, okay. It's interesting. I always assume petting zoo has small and farm type animals like bunnies and chickens and small things that are easy to both transport and pet and all prey animals rather than any predator animals. You know what I mean?
Yes, it's true.
I also found it interesting that Carmine chooses to say, "I got reindeer flying in here from a petting zoo," instead of the obvious choice, which would have
From
been
the North
reindeer
Pole.
flying in here from the North Pole. Yeah, it's such an odd choice.
Well, maybe the petting zoo is in the North Pole.
I mean, I guess,
Ah.
but it's such why there's no Santa reference there is weird. If you're going to mention some reindeer, and you've already told us we're in an airport in Christmas week, why there's no Santa reference if you're using reindeer? It's very strange.
Well, maybe it's just something that you that one should already realize.
Yeah, I
If
guess.
you're having reindeers around Christmas time, so it must be because it's from Santa. I don't know. I don't know.
Very,
But
very weird.
so the biggest problem with petting zoos, though, is the fact that many of these animals, when you touch them. There's transmission of many diseases between animals and humans. Which is why you should wash your hands after touching the animals. And there have been many outbreaks of E. coli and stuff like that.
Hoof and mouth.
Let's hope not.
You're just better off not touching them.
That's right. Or just, washing your hands afterwards.
Well, yeah, okay, that too.
Which makes sense. Right. So John mentions the fact that there's a Glock, that the guy had a Glock 7. Again, I mentioned this yesterday. It's just very strange to me that Carmine has no idea. He's saying that John shot a punk, but doesn't he know that there is a gun? Maybe there's a gun around there, or maybe there isn't.
Well,
Maybe that's
he
the
hasn't gone to
issue.
examine the scene. He really needs to get off his rear end and go down and examine the scene. But
Correct. Because the question is, what happened to Cochran's gun? Because we didn't see Miller pick it up. Miller ran off with his gun, but he
Well,
never
that's kind
picked
of
it up.
interesting.
So I don't know. Not really sure about that. And so he mentions that it's a Glock 7 that's a porcelain gun made in Germany. Okay. There is no such thing as a Glock 7, and there's no such thing as a porcelain gun.
That's interesting. It's good for the storyline. It fits the
That's true.
storyline. That's
That's right. A few years ago, I gave an off the beaten track story, telling how I actually got a magazine of bullets, on an airplane by accident.
Oh,
It
boy.
wasn't on purpose. It wasn't on purpose, but you can't get a gun on it. It's not as simple. Well, let's hope. Let's hope it's not simple. Right. And so basically he says that that it doesn't show up in the X-ray machines. So do you know when someone created the idea of an X-ray? And why it's called X-ray?
No, I actually don't know that either. I,
Okay, so in
you know, I
18
bet when you say it, I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, that I remember, but
Well, I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe no. I read this today when I read this and I wasn't really sure. I've never heard of this before. I
all
always
right.
thought I knew, but I didn't. So in 1895, a German physics professor named Wilhelm Röntgen stumbled on X-rays while experimenting with Leonard tubes and Crookes tubes, and then he began studying them. And he published in the end of 1895, and he published a paper about X-rays, and he referred to the radiation as X to indicate that it is an unknown type of radiation. Some early tests referred to them as chi rays, having interpreted X as the uppercase Greek letter chi, chi,
Okay.
right, which is an X. So the name X-rays stuck. Colleagues suggested calling them Rentke rays, but he didn't like that idea, obviously. And the truth is, in Hebrew, okay, X-rays are known as Rentgen, which I'd never made
Interesting.
the connection before. This is the first time
Yeah.
that I've ever realized this type of thing. The problem is that nobody knows exactly how he discovered it because his lab notes were burned after his death,
Oh, weird.
and therefore his biographers, many different biographers have said different things about what happened.
Huh.
It looks like, reading through the story here, it sounds like a superhero origin story. Like something that, like it says that something green was flashing, and he got closer and noticed
Gonna
it
say,
or
were they
whatever.
burned at his request, or was it they were found to have been burned, or
It
the
doesn't
See,
say.
that's very strange.
Doesn't say. Yeah. And they estimated that after Röntgen discovered X-rays, within about a year, there were over 1,000 different articles of researchers who were doing things that were connected to X-rays.
Wow.
So it's something that really, it flourished at that
Huh.
point. And obviously, as we know, X-rays are mostly, they're used in two main places that we know of, right? One is in airports to check both us and to check our luggage to make sure that we're not carrying anything we shouldn't be carrying. And the second thing is for medical purposes. And Rentgen actually was the one who discovered the medical use when he took a picture of his wife's hand and realized that he could actually see, her bone structure.
Crazy.
And she said, "Wow, I have seen my death."
Yikes.
Yeah.
right.
Not something that you really want to,
I mean, I guess that's a way to put it.
That's right. Do you know the name of the X-ray machines that are used now in airports to check people?
No, The vertical ones?
They're known as, yeah, they're known as back scanner X-rays
Why?
because they can detect both hard and soft materials depending on the intensity of the X-ray that they put on. I'm not talking about the going through metal detectors. I'm talking about the X-ray machines themselves, like maybe in Total Recall what you see, that type of thing.
I gotcha.
I think that's what they're referring to here. They're not talking about metal detectors because metal detectors just detect metal. They don't take a picture of what your bone structure looks like.
Interesting.
Sometimes they're referred to as body scanners, security scanners, or naked scanners. I don't know why you would think of someone naked if you're just looking at their bones, but okay. The TSA, as we mentioned earlier today, or maybe yesterday, I don't even remember when it was about the TSA. Actually, it was yesterday, I think. Yeah, we mentioned yesterday about it. So as of 2012, the TSA makes it that every airport must have at least one full body scanner.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that
Yeah.
makes sense.
Once they did that, they had older ones that they had to get
Where'd those all end up?
rid of. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe in Europe. Yeah. I don't know. Right. So the next thing I wanted to mention was the fact that, okay, we have that he mentions about, it's more than you make in a month.
Yes. How much does
Okay.
the head of security at the Washington, D.C. airport make in a month?
Did you
No, I
look that
didn't.
up?
I'm asking. I figured
Oh,
you would, to be
no. Well,
honest.
what I looked up was how much is a police salary, a police captain
Oh, okay. All
salary
right.
in as of
Oh.
today, because I wasn't able to find, the salary of someone from 1990. So
We can estimate.
what I, that's right. Well, I'm going to go even further than that. So today, between 60, anywhere between $70,000 and $89,000 a year.
Wow.
Okay, that's the average police captain
Okay.
salary. So as of March 28th, 2023, so not that long ago, the average salary, looking at that range or wherever, the average was 78,826.
Interesting.
Okay, so what I did was I took that number and I put it into the inflation calculator and looked at it backwards.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, to see how much $78,000 or $79,000 was worth in 1990. $79,000 of today. So it was worth
Wow.
$34,000. Okay. So my assumption is that this porcelain gun does not cost
No.
$30,000. I could be wrong, it's possible. Now now then John mentions the fact that if it's more than
You'd be
$1.98,
surprised, yeah.
I'd be surprised. So how much is $1.98 from 1990 worth today?
Wait, I suppose I could use the calculations you just had and then run them. I'm not going to do that. Just tell me.
It's
Oh,
4.57.
okay.
Okay, so he's basically saying almost
All right.
$5. So okay, that
Yeah,
makes sense.
if it's more than a firm, it's still a very good insult.
Yes, it's a great insult. No question about that. Right. So okay, that's all I have for this minute. I wanted to mention one other thing that we forgot to mention in passing was that while Carmine is yelling at him and he says, "I'll send your f captain in LA a f commendation," he presses
Big red button,
a
giant
buzzer.
red button.
That's right. That's right. Which he just launched the nukes against Russia.
Love the big red button. I also love the fact that he was like, "All right, I'll send your captain a commendation." Like, that's all good news for John. Take the win and walk out of the office. Yes, send my
That's
captain a commendation. All right, talk to you later.
completely. Yeah, I don't get it. Not really sure. Yeah, but again, we get to see Carmine's personality throughout this minute. There's no question about that. He shows himself as to who he is. Because what he's saying by the sending a commendation means that he's
At
at least
least fair.
fair.
And again, kind of a hint that he knows he's in the wrong, but is not going to admit it.
Yeah, but again, you they just someone just got killed in your someone just got shot in your airport. Okay, you're automatically assuming it's a punk stealing luggage. And you're gonna get a commendation for shooting a punk stealing
I tell
luggage.
you.
Yeah, I don't know. Don't know, don't know. All right. So, you have anything else you want to say about this movie before we get into
Let
the
me check my
script?
notes. No, I have a push his red button was my final
There you go. Launching
That's
those
right.
nukes. There you go. So yesterday we sort of slid a little bit into today's minute with the script, but I'll continue from there. And he goes, "Hell, why don't we shut down the whole f-ing airport? What do you think they'll say upstairs when I tell them that?" And McClane says, "Why don't you try and find out? Because I don't need a forensics investigation to file away some punk stealing luggage. Luggage? That punk pulled a Glock 7 on me. Know what that is? A porcelain gun from Germany. It doesn't show up on airport X-ray machines, and it costs more than you earn in a month. You'd be surprised what I earn in a month. If it's more than $1.89, yeah. I wonder if that was a flub from
Maybe.
Bruce Willis, where he said $1.98 instead of $1.89. And then the rest continues with the
Okay.
same thing. But I'm talking about the big fish, and I'll send your captain a commendation. And then it says he hits a buzzer. Immediately, two burly airport cops appear in the
They were
doorway.
burly.
Yeah, but we've seen them before. They're the ones who brought him
Well,
in,
all
also.
right. The same burly airport cops.
That's right. So, every Tuesday we have a segment called Disaster Tuesday. Okay, which I'm assuming you're wondering what that is. Basically, every Tuesday I discuss some sort of aircraft disaster that
Okay.
happened, and I try and find something that is somewhat geographically close to where my guest is from. Okay. So can you think of any major aircraft crashes that happened somewhere in Wisconsin? I'll even tell you where. East Troy, Wisconsin.
Oh,
Does that
the
help you with
Stevie Ray
anything?
Vaughan helicopter. Yeah.
That is right. Yeah. So on August 27th, 1990, okay, Stevie Ray Vaughan was killed in a helicopter crash near East Troy, Wisconsin, at the age of 35. He was one of the most influential blues guitarists of the 80s and described by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as the second coming of the blues. Okay, he was performing with his band, Double Trouble, as the opening act for Eric Clapton at the Alpine Valley Music Theater, which is 30 miles from Milwaukee. Have you ever been there?
I have not. I've been past it. I've seen it from a distance. I have never gone to a show there.
Okay, so after the concert ended, so Vaughn and three members of Clapton's entourage boarded a helicopter that ended up crashing into the side of a nearby ski hill shortly after takeoff. Okay, they were notified at 4:30 in the morning that this happened, and all five people on the on, in the helicopter were pronounced dead on arrival, and the autopsy concluded that basically everyone died of blunt trauma, which makes sense. Now they tested the bodies and they didn't find any evidence of drug or alcohol use. They recorded the death as a, I don't know why they write this word, as a misadventure. I don't know what that means.
That's strange.
They basically say that the pilot failed to gain sufficient altitude to avoid rising terrain. Okay, now one of the things that I read about this, which was really interesting, is that the day before his death, he told his band and crew members that he had a nightmare, and that he was at his own funeral and saw thousands of mourners, and he felt terrified yet almost peaceful. And then
Oof.
backstage after the show that evening, they talked about playing again together with Eric Clapton for a series of dates in London as a tribute to Jimi Hendrix just a few months later. And then they were informed that the weather is starting to get worse and that they had to get out of there soon. And Vaughn's last word to his drummer Chris Leighton was, "I love you." Now apparently they had four helicopters that were taking them out. Now you said you've never been to this venue, but are you familiar with it at all?
Yes, it's a big venue kind of in the middle of nowhere.
That's right.
And it's set up for the huge concerts. It's semi outside. It all through high school, like anytime stadium tours, we would get downtown Milwaukee, but a real big stadium tours would head out to Alpine Valley. So because it was kind of a distance and in the middle of nowhere, it was always an event if someone was going out to Alpine Valley.
Right. Okay, so basically they had four helicopters that were waiting for on the golf course to take them back to Chicago. Okay, Vaughn was there with his brother, with his brother's wife, and they went on to one of the helicopters, and Vaughn was supposed to get into, was supposed to go on one of the, that they were all actually supposed to go on that one, on the helicopter that they, that Vaughn was on. But when they got there, they saw that three members of Clapton's entourage were there, and there was only one seat left available. So Vaughn asked both Jimmy and Connie if he could actually take the last seat, saying, "I really need to get back quickly." And they got on the next helicopter. You know, so they were saved from that type of thing, from that.
I tell you what, it just added to the fact where I will never get on a helicopter. It because I remember this happening and just being like, oh man, this is it's devastating because at the time Stevie Ray Vaughan was a big deal.
Yeah. And they didn't
Yeah,
even know
so
about the fact until the helicopters never showed up.
yeah. Because again, middle of nowhere. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, basically, as you said, the place was a bottleneck, and in order for, you know, the musicians to get in and out, so that's why they mostly used, you know, helicopters in order to, you know, so that they wouldn't have to sit in traffic for hours. But I think maybe Stevie Ray Vaughan would have preferred to have sat in traffic. I don't know. Yeah. I know this segment's a little bit of a downer, but it's still, you know, but it's still, but
It's interesting.
it's for information purposes. It's interesting, you know, you know, because this movie does have a plane crash. So I decided that I wanted to, you know, this is, you know, just something interesting. I have some great
All
ones. I have some great one. I have some, I don't know, great is the right word. I have some very fascinating stories later on in the season to talk about, you know, some of them are ones that never should have crashed. You know, it was just people were
right.
doing stupid things. But, you know, I mostly talk about people that we're familiar with. So, you know, okay. So, Jeanette, do you want to once again tell people where they can find Jeanette Ward?
Yeah, you can find me on all the socials. I'm out there and around, really mostly on Instagram. You can find me on the Facebooks, and you can find my movie reviews at jwardadventures.blogspot.com. And if you are interested in finding out about my belly dance troupe and what we're up to and what we're doing, or maybe checking out some videos of us, we have a YouTube channel, so you can go to YouTube and search Tamarind Belly Dance, Tamarind like the spice, and you'll find our stuff there.
All right, great. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Mover a Minute. You can find me on my website, moveraminute.com. You can find me on Facebook, and you can find me on Twitter. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Not now, later.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little